Hi everyone, we're having very bad internet connections. This is Billy. I want to say hello. I'm speaking to you from inside my car. We're chasing down internet. We had a hurricane come through here. We had internet all night, and all of a sudden, it's gone. So I'm going to hand this back over to you, Don, and I think we're at a stable place now where we can greet one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay, welcome everyone. I'm Reverend Billy Sinteris. We're on Cape Cod, and we got shook up quite a bit. 15 minutes before we were going to go on there, they must be repairing the internet, and here we are. Another obstacle, and to find the calm within the storm. Anyway, I want to read the our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakened to one true self, within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. We also have five core values that are spot welded in our hearts, and they're all brilliant. And today, my core value is going to be core value two. We realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each other to be where he or she is. Thank you. I'm going to go right into the announcements. Calmly in the cramped up front seat of my car. Here we go. The announcements. One, the next Awakening Together class, Jesus of the New Testament, is now open for registration. This is a very interesting class because you will learn to read passages from the New Testament and then listen for spiritual intuitions, interpretation of those passages. You may see things in the New Testament that you've never seen before. Jesus of the New Testament is a four-week class. It will be facilitated by Reverend Carl Lammers. Classes will be on Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 4 Eastern Standard Time and beginning on September 24th. Homework begins a week earlier on September 17th. The class fee is $80. For full details and to register, look on awakeningtogether.org under retreats and classes on the classes submenu. The second announcement. The Awakening Together Fall Retreat begins 6 weeks from today. Since there is still space available to lodge at the retreat house, we have decided to invite anyone who is attending either retreat to stay or at the retreat house. Previously, the retreat house is reserved for people attending both retreats. Now, anyone attending either retreat may lodge at the retreat house. Retreat house rates are the best rates in La Vida, and they include breakfast every day. Since lunch and dinner are included as part of the fall retreat, that means all your meals are covered. For more details about lodging opportunities at the retreat house, go to awakening/together.org and then look under retreat house menu for lodging reservations. Announcement number three. If you haven't registered for the Awakening Together Fall Retreat yet, you can register at awakening/together.org under the retreats and classes menu. Just look for Awakening Together Fall Retreat October 2019. The fourth announcement, Jacqueline will begin a new program tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Time. The program is called Something Genuine. In this program, we will watch a TED Talk and discuss it together. Speakers at TED events have a maximum of 18 minutes to share their messages, which are in highly polished, succinct speeches. These talks are often humorous, poignant, and informative. In this program, we will watch and discuss TED Talks that reveal the truth of ourselves and our universe based on the actual experience of ordinary people. Their insights are genuine, not based on theory or dogma, and give us a man on the street perspective on what we are coming to learn through Awakening Together. We expect this to be fun, an illuminating program. Plan to join us for this program on every Sunday beginning tonight from 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. Also, feel free to suggest TED Talks for the program. Send suggestions to Jacqueline at jacqueline.awakeningtogether@yahoo.com. That is jacqueline.awakeningtogether@yahoo.com. Also, the fifth announcement, join us tonight at 8 p.m. for Awakening Together's quarterly member meeting. Tonight, Jacqueline will share our quarterly two financial reports with us, tell us about a new forum policy, and share some exciting new information about the retreat house and the retreats we hold there. Also, Nancy Silva will join us at tonight's meeting to talk about her experience at releasing the I Am Bad Belief retreat in August. Again, that meeting is tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. All right. I am going to give this to Megan, and she's going to have the opening song.
Crazy, no? But here, in our little village of Anatevka, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up there if it's so dangerous? Well, we stay because Anatevka is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition! Of our traditions, we've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything.
How did you hear? Okay, how much did you hear? Did you get any of that, or we got disconnected? I thought. That was it, huh? Well, the song was about tradition. It was Fiddler on the Roof. And it's too bad. Tears to my eyes. It was a movie, I don't know, back in the 70s, 60s, whatever, that taught us about not giving up our traditions and holding a balance through our traditions and our way of life. And to receive the message that, you know, what does God want you to do? So right now, I'm going to go into my prayer. Father, you've given me obstacles today. I need to hear your truth so I may deliver it. I sit here in a parking lot. Looking for the highway of communication to deliver a message that I've planned for I hope it can be delivered. I hope that I can do justice. I think I bit off more than I could chew in my topic of Peter and Paul. And I'm going to need your guidance, your words, to help me with my thoughts and my feelings, to deliver a message that is not to offend anyone, a message to help us go beyond these traditions that was ingrained in our DNA, to help us find language that can coincide our paths to be congruent with the absolute that is always available to each and every one of us. Thank you. Amen. All right. I think do we go right into the reading right now? Because I don't have a format. All I have is a lap. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is Megan, and I'm going to be reading just one section from lesson 189 in the Course of Miracles. And that's paragraph 7. The lesson is, I feel the love of God within me now. Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. All concepts you have learned about the world. All images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with holy, empty hands unto your God. Handing it over. Share your topic.
Well, Megan, thank you. You know, I noticed a pattern in myself. I am an active, I am a recovering addict and alcoholic. And I want to talk about Peter and Paul today and their message to the world and how it was delivered and how one was a follower. Peter was the follower who had to, Jesus told him to follow him. And Paul, who had never even met Jesus, had a direct experience that happened through him. And in what I want to speak about today is how, like, this Peter and Paul that lives in every mind, you know, I want to talk about the story first before I start taking it apart. So I had a pattern within myself because I was an addict for a good 24, 25 years. And in that process of being an addict, I developed a singleness of purpose that I wanted something every day, and I had to get it every day. And then I couldn't stop. And then I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. And I couldn't stop, and I couldn't stop. But I still thought about this one thing every day. I tried to stop. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. Now, I don't want to get into the details of my story. I want to just get right back into the message here that I had a firsthand experience with the reality of something greater than myself, you know, that could relieve me of my alcoholism and my drug addiction. You know, so I don't know, one of the last two lines in How It Works says, there were no human power can relieve me of this malady that I had. Okay. But God could and would if he were sought. So whenever we're reading the How It Works, everybody recites that. God could and would if he were sought. So I had most low bottom addicts, okay, get to this point like Paul in his story. Okay. You know, we have the Peter Paul story, okay, that I felt like I was more like Peter in a lot, like Paul most of the time, because he had a singleness of purpose. He was going to kill. He wanted to kill all the Jesus followers. Okay. And he was intense about it and had a tirade about it. And, you know, and this is going to be according to Billy's book of the gospel. Okay. I mean, I don't want to offend the purist that I might be telling the story wrong, but this is how it comes to me and lives through my veins. And it's, you know, it's written on my heart. Okay. So, in this journey of Peter and Paul, you know, there were two, you know, I felt, you know, I had a judgment. I mean, my personal journey, I had a judgment. In recovery, they tell you, they want you to, in this, I was a low bottom drunk, we'll call it. I lost everything. Okay. I could speak to those people. I could speak to the people who had nothing left but God. It was either get God or die. Now this, and when I was coming in, it was just black and white. They would say, well, if you haven't had enough, then go back out and drink your last drop, get more pain, so you can change your mind. As recovery starts to evolve and the 12 steps room start to evolve, there has been a high bottom drug addict and alcoholic that's coming in that has been learning and following and have had consequential thinking of how to be restored to this sanity, that they don't want to go all the way down. And my problem was that I couldn't speak to, I didn't have the language to speak to this middle ground. So this is the Peter and Paul story signifies that to me, you know, and I just want to go into that right now, you know, that Paul, and this all was, you know, to think that this was all part of the plan, and it was in the mind, the it was in the mind, it was in God's mind of putting this together, because Paul could not have been, could not have met Jesus, because he was a total leader. And Peter, who is a follower, who was going to learn from the examples of Jesus, you know, was placed there in the beginning. And because he was a follower, you know, and when Jesus was, you know, I mean, he saw the miracles, he witnessed them. Jesus kept on telling Peter to just follow me, Peter. And, but, you know, Peter was unworthy about it. And all, you know, when you read the Mark and Matthew, they all say, you know, they all begin with Peter, you know, follow me, just follow me. And so I need some, with Paul, it was on his, you know, his tirade, this singleness, chasing down the Christians, the followers of Jesus after he died, okay, and on this road to Damascus, where he had an idea where he could capture Peter and the boys, okay, and he, you know, he had a small band of men and all that. And this reminds me of this, you know, this singleness of purpose where you burn it out, you know, you burn it out and you see it all the way through to the end. And this is an addict's journey, a low bottom addict's journey where, okay, in that tirade of chasing Peter and getting, he gets confronted by the Spirit of Jesus. Okay. And the Spirit, the light of the Spirit is so blinding that it, you know, his men thrown to the ground, are just thrown to the ground, and the light blinds. So his name is Saul at this time. He becomes Paul after this transformation. So, and Paul is still in a confused state, thinking that he's taught. He knows that there's a figure in front of him, and he thinks it's the Lord. And he goes, you know, and the figure says, "Why do you persecute me?" And then, you know, and Paul, who is completely petrified, doesn't know, "Lord, I'm not persecuting you. I'm going after this guy, Jesus." And then Jesus says that this is me, okay? And Paul says, "Is this really you?" I didn't know you were real. Now, how many times in my head do I ask that question? Is this God talking to me? Okay, or is this something else talking to me? But anyway, so let's get back to this story of where, you know, we've all been there. We've all had that moment. So in this humbling act that, okay, you are real, he says, "So what do you want me to do?" And he says, "I want you to go to Damascus. And then I will give you instructions." Paul gathers his things and he still blind, goes to Damascus, finds a hut, stays in the hut, waits in this hut to get miracle ready, we will call it, to get
to get ready for this next message. Still a little bit of doubt. You know, he hadn't ended all doubt yet. You know, was I hallucinating back there? The other guys didn't hear it. No one heard this but me. An unconscious fast, no water, no drink for 3 days in this hut. And he gets the message. He gets another message that to meet with Ananias, I think his name is. And then in this process of meeting with Ananias, and then the message comes to him that Ananias is going to find him, and then he's going to baptize him, and then he gets his sight back. The message that came from Christ at this time was that to treat everyone the same, the Gentiles, that we all, what I read, we all have this inner mentor inside. We have the gift of this Holy Spirit. We have this guide, a mentor that we can turn to all the time and to live by it. And it's for everyone, just like in Core Value 2 that I just read, which is, you know, Regina's Core Values, which are brilliant. Okay, that no one is excluded. Back on the range here where we have Peter, okay, who is totally in, no, Paul's still chasing him in his mind. He's hearing these stories, Paul transformed, and he wants to have a meeting with Paul, a little afraid. But Peter at this time, who is tradition oriented and knows and will not break bread with the Gentiles or the pagans, will only sit with the Jews. And because as he's keeping their holy relationship, he's keeping their, not their holy relationship, their special relationship, that inner feeling that they're the chosen ones. They're the only ones that can get this message. Well, this was the main clash between Peter and Paul. And this main clash between Peter and Paul was, this is where a whole mind gets to see that Paul was in service to Peter. Peter had to be there, and Peter had to be the follower to be there, to speak to the crowds, what he witnessed. Still, the outside situation was coming in. Here, Paul pushes Peter. You know, I can only imagine how that must have felt when Paul came and said, "This message is for everyone. Everyone can receive the Holy Spirit. This guidance here is for everyone to have, and to have it in their time, you know, and however they evolve with it." Okay? And so, like anything, when I hear the truth, I scratch and crawl, and, you know, it doesn't go away. But I can imagine that Peter had to wrestle with that, and in his own time, and as it echoed in every chamber of his being, he received it in his time. And he was pushed beyond the limits of the traditions that held his balance, that was beyond all the traditions that had boundaries on everything, that the beyondness was now ready and approachable, being approached by every means of understanding. Okay? And so Paul, who spoke, you know, in Damascus when he began his journey, his message was about sin and forgiveness, and how, you know, how Jesus was speaking to him all the time, and he was teaching him forgiveness. And Paul, you know, Paul without Peter, may have been under a bridge just clanging a bell because he was such an addict. Okay. So they both needed each other. The yin and the yang were and they're in everyone's mind. You know, so when he received this message from Jesus, he knew it belonged to him. Okay, he felt that he was in that zero that I talk about with no opinions. Just tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to say. You know, another thing happened, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's happening in the book of Billy as he interprets the gospel. You know, that now that Peter has gotten to trust Paul a little bit, and he asked Paul if he wanted to go on they were going to go to Galilee to fish with Jesus one time. And I don't know if I saw it in a movie. It doesn't really matter if it's true. It's true to me, okay? And I don't want to offend anybody, but it's true to me that Peter said to him, come on, we're going to go see Jesus, and we're going to go fish with him one more time. And Paul grabbed Peter by his shirt, and he said, Peter, don't you understand, Peter? You don't understand. I'm with Jesus right now. He's here, right here. Don't you feel him? He's here right now. And, you know, the story of Peter, you know, and, even the story of Peter and they both taught at both levels. I felt that Paul was going, was writing a, you know, he was talking to the Galatians, and he was storming through. He was just doing this service with a tenacity, and he was being their counselor, and he was being their therapist, and he was just whatever you want me to be. I'm gonna get you from point A to point B where you can totally rely on this inner guidance. Okay, and his letters were kept on coming, and I felt that Peter just kept on putting a stamp on them. Yeah, they're good. They're good, you know, and then he taught with them. But it was Paul who had that firsthand experience with the reality, even though he wasn't even with Jesus. And then when Paul was beheaded after his journey through, you know, the Galatians, Thessalonians, the Corinthians, I mean, all these letters he just kept writing and receiving the message. And Peter was doing his thing on the other side. And how could you even think that, you know, I mean, would you ever think, I mean, we all have this in our head that Peter needed Paul and Paul needed Peter, you know, and to think that, you know, like, here's the guy that wants to have me dead, you know, is my greatest asset today. Okay. And to thoroughly sit there and know that I can't see the plan. The plan is much bigger. I just have to trust the trust. So, you know, getting back to my experience of, you know, of one more thing before I go any further, you know, this is a question I'm just going to leave out in the open, because when Peter died, when Peter got crucified, he asked to be turned upside down and he'd be placed next to the way Jesus died, but he wanted to be upside down because he wasn't worthy of it. And through my perception, I still think Peter didn't get it. Through other perceptions, I can go to that middle ground and say, well, he was humbling himself to the Father by doing that. So it doesn't matter. This is that yin and yang that, you know, this is that Shakespearean quote where, you know, nothing's neither good or bad, only thinking makes it so, you know, and this is what, you know, wherever we fall, whatever our road is, our core value too, and no one has more intuition, you know, more spiritual value. You know, it's, we all have the same, we have all have that same access to this mentor inside of us. So here I am that I want to tell on myself. You know, I knew that I couldn't speak to this new crowd coming into the AA rooms and the alcoholic rooms and the drug rooms and all the 12-step rooms that I've counseled in. And, you know, we're doing this MPP and then we're doing the, what's it called? The
root cause
inquiry. Okay. And Regina's root cause inquiry. And here I am. I have stapled in my heart. I have my 9 columns that I don't want to drift from.
Your root cause.
My root cause inquiries. I call them. And it's a combination of the 12th. And then when I was the when I was at the Endeavor course, and did we lose them? Of Endeavor Academy, that there was a Mortaholics Anonymous. Oh, wait. My screen changed. I hope you can still hear me.
Yeah, we still hear you, Billy. Just go right on. It's beautiful.
Keep going.
Okay, I'm still on. Okay, great. Okay, hope I can get back there. Anyway, so I am, so here was my special relationship, you know, that I saw, you know, not that my things aren't worthy, but it was how I was looking at them. You know, I had numbed them at the time. And I want to talk about godding and verbing and nounship, you know, and I have some something from this Agadada I want to go into, you know, like yesterday's verb is a noun today, you know, and we, you know, and I had this special relationship with my columns, and I must have, you know, Jacqueline, I must have been a handful for Jacqueline, you know, doing my ministry thing until I finally settled in into these, to that surrender. Okay. That, you know, that I have to find when that part of me fell asleep. And that's where the Peter comes in. Okay, that part of me that parts of me in my human condition, okay, now I can learn from someone else's experience. I can learn from someone else's experience to awaken what has fallen asleep in me. Okay, my Peter. Okay. I always had, you know, the all or nothing situation going on. And I mean, I had this mind that was, I could always see the bottom line. So why do we have to do all these levels to get to this? It's going to be this anyway. So you either get God or die. It's not 30% God in this level of consciousness, 30% get God or die, or 70%, you know, it's either get God or die. Okay. So when I hear all these levels, you know, I have to surrender again. Okay. And I'm telling them I have to surrender again. So, you know, so getting back to this, you know, this intense awakening that we have, that we want to be free, you know, the traditions and their limitations have taken us so far. They're a great above all else, we held balance. And now, you know, in this, in our awakening together format, we look at it, we get beyond the intellectual and now the intuitiveness captures us, you know. We get where you know, that guy that was wanted to kill me and that I was running from is my, you know, has taught me so much, okay, today. And so this verbing, you know, I love Nisargadatta, okay, because he's crass, because, you know, I sometimes I see his all and nothingness. I see his some, and then I see where he bends, and he bends down, and he talks to the split mind, and then he reaches out and he tries to, and he gives the questioner just enough to attain that self, that self that alone, that lives alone in self, that not alone in self, meaning encompassing all in that everything that is all. Okay. And so I hope we have it. Okay, good. We brought it. All right. It was March 13, and this is one time where Maharaj is just wants to just be in the all. He does not want to come down. He just wants to blab. He has no questioner at all. Okay. And he says, everything happens out of our own self. You know, our own self is unmanifested. It is pure consciousness. It is love, light, oneness, being. And everything comes from there. Then he goes, this consciousness is spontaneously felt in the self only. So now he's saying, you can just feel it here only. Okay? And, you know, everything that we have is equally available right here. So then he goes, this individual I is not an individual. This I is not an individual. He goes, this I is not an individual. So it's not a noun. This I is not an individual. He goes, what is the absolute unmanifested? So what is hasn't been manifested yet. Now, what you want to believe is real or isn't real, is the manifested real or the unmanifested real, that's part of your journey. And wherever you are in it, that's okay. Okay? All right? And, but he goes, we all have it's like he's saying, we all have equal availability to receive it and respond to it. Making an unmanifest manifest, or take the godding and function with the godding being in the verb. Now, I noticed in me that, you know, when I actually said that yesterday's verb is a noun today, and there's a saying in AA that you can't rest on yesterday's laurels. Okay, like, so yesterday's feeling that I felt that freedom, as I talk about it, it becomes the noun, it becomes the individual, it becomes, hey, remember yesterday, remember when you were in it, you know, and, you know, remember, you know, and, you know, and, you know, it's crystallized, it's gotten solidified, and I've left that, I am the I amness of the godding part of it. So then he goes like this. He goes, what appears as if in a dream, is manifested. Relative world, and this experience of the dreamlike state is the same. And an identical state for everyone. This, what appears here as if in a dream, within this stream of consciousness, you can create an individual to live out, but that individual continues to manifest, getting further and further away from its authenticity, the authentic self. You know, Peter and Paul, you know? Mm-hmm. In my head, I had a first-hand experience with the reality of God. Okay? Am I living by it? Or do I need... I have built-in forgetters. I forget. I have special relationships that I get seduced by memory and worldly events, and I forget, and I need... Now I need to follow. I need the Peter to follow, to help, because he was taught how to follow, and to awaken through following, not just through
identifying.
You know, so everyone has this, you know, and then he goes, in this process of functioning that becomes manifest, if you accept something as an individual event, then it affects you as an individual, which is what I was just talking about. I jumped ahead. If you do not take delivery as an individual, but as total functioning, then you are free of whatever is happening. So, is to be still and know that I am God, but God in the Godding, to be God as in the receivership, to be God in the functioning, to be God in no special relationship, that everyone gets me as I am all the time, as I am all the time. You know? Well, if you do not take the, okay, the knowledge of the self is the dreamlike feeling of I amness. The knowledge of the self. Now it's the knowledge of the self is the dreamlike feeling of I amness. You know, and then he goes, you know, the dreamlike feeling of I amness that, you know, I talked about. I just spoke about it, just saying that. I'm being the feeling. I am not thinking I am the feeling. You know, as I'm chasing that freedom. I'm chasing that oneness. I'm chasing that, you know, I just rest in that Eckhart Tolle moment of truth. That Eckhart Tolle power of now, that isness, you know, I am currently created perfectly until my mind gets there. So then he goes, the last line he goes, well, by assuming a separate identity, one taints that which is taintless. That is the original sin. So that's that tiny mad idea that we talk about. But getting back to the summation of all this, to sum it all together, put it all together, getting rid of throwing. I have a book that's written in my heart. It's for me. It's my book. I'm not asking anyone to subscribe to it. It's how I receive things and how I blurt it out. Okay. Okay. And then there are times that I have to throw that book away because I have crystallized that moment. I have solidified it. I am not in the verbship. I've just, you know, I'm in today's nounship because I'm looking at yesterday's law, whatever it is. It's evident. So the Peter and Paul that live in my mind, there is an aboveness of both of them. I to see the whole ball game and to accept the ball game and not have to be in that whole ball game. You know, that you know, I experience this awakening, and there's these two ways to get there, you know. And then in that experience of living in that dreamlike state, that you know you're vibrating in it, and you know you're there, and you know you can almost say that this isn't real, and I'm in it, and I'm experiencing it, and I have sometimes I have a doubter on my right. And I talk to it, and I have to, you know, and I deal with the split mind. I just do it like Nisargadatta gets to that, and you know, he does that. And then all of a sudden, I awaken from the awakening, and I fall back into. All of a sudden, I'm in a sailboat with Megan, and there's a whale beside us, you know, 50 feet away, you know, 15 elephants, as big as 15 elephants, and it's beside us, and I'm going, okay, I'm out of it now. Okay, now what am I going to do? You know, we're looking for this whale, and then all of a sudden, and we're looking one way, and I'm expecting Freddy Krueger whale to come behind me on the other side of the boat, and then just rest to know that I'm going to be okay. Whale or no whale. That I'm going to be okay, that throwing the book away and to receive more and to understand that and to live by that. So I'm going to let go of the mic. I think I spoke enough. What do I do?
Donations.
Okay. I want to talk about where is the donations?
You just tell them about it.
Yes, there's if you want to donate to our program and to our way of life and our way, it's on pullupawakeningtogether.org and look under donations.
Music,
and I don't know if we're gonna have.
I'm gonna play some music. Feel free to donate to awakening-together.org.
Thanks.
Or member supported.
Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade.
Wait. Children, they're dressed up in blue. You know, my God's gonna trouble the water. I say it looks like my people, they're coming on through. Well, my God's gonna trouble the water.
Well, everybody, wait, 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 wait.
Trouble,
the water. See those children dressed in red. My God,
trouble the water.
You know it must be the children that Moses led. My God,
sharing.
Okay, now we're going to open it to sharing in a bad situation again. We are down to 5%, so we got to go to our, can we get home?
Yeah, open up.
And okay, I'm going to open it up to sharing, and I don't, and I can't really see anybody. Go ahead,
hey, Billy.
Regina, I see you.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to say thank you so very much. Before you spoke a single word today, I was inspired just that under the circumstances you went to the trouble to find a place in your car from where you could lead the service. You know, that alone inspired me before we even started. But I will tell you also that as you were sharing, and you shared a lot, but the things that you said that struck my heart the most were about surrender, about trusting intuition over and over, you know, the intellect. And also, I really loved what you read from Nisargadatta about seeing it as an individual event, whatever is happening, then I'm an individual, or seeing it as the total functioning. Of course, then I'm consciousness. I was really inspired. I loved when you said you said it was an AA saying, you can't rest on yesterday's laurels. I think that is so incredibly important each day has to be a fresh new surrender. I also love when you said, I had a firsthand experience of God. Am I living by it? You know, like we can have these experiences like Paul did and then just go back to our worldly living, or we can continue to live from that experience. So I thought that was a wonderful contemplation as well. And I also loved it when you said, I have to surrender again. I think that's the whole thing. We have to do that every day, every moment. You know, Joe Goldsmith talked about dying 1,000 times a day. And that's really what it is. I have to surrender again. And now I have to surrender again. And now I have to surrender again. Right? So we're not even resting on the last minute's laurels. And then I loved also how you said, I can't see the plan. I just have to trust the trust. So I thought it was very inspirational, Billy. And again, I just want to thank you, and I'm releasing the mic.
Thank you. Thank you, Regina. Anybody else? I can't see, so just grab the mic. I really can't see. Well, you know, this inspiration came from, I don't know how it came together today to speak about it. I mean, I had my wife, Susan, who was giving me a lot of, and then Megan and I took things to our level as well. And the songs followed, you know, and Fiddler on the Roof, it's too bad you didn't hear it. It was just, you know, seeing that being acted out again and living in the traditions and we in Awakening Together, expanding and going beyond and taking the values of the traditions, but having them become whole in our lives today. I don't know, does anybody else have anything to share?
One last song.
We have one last song I'd like to play. Go ahead.
I will follow you.